Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Eryou.
We are your TV BFFs, and this is an interview podcast about the TV shows that people love most. Each episode, we bring on a guest to discuss their top six shows of all time based on what we call the BFF criteria. With so much TV out there, we want to know, what are the best shows you've ever seen? What are your absolute favorite shows? And what are the shows you would watch on a loop forever?
That's right. Each episode, our guests will pick two shows in each of the three BFF categories, those being their best, favorite, and forever shows. And they're going to be choosing from the three genres of TV, which are drama, comedy, and all things unscripted. And if you want to know what our all-time picks are and where they fall on our personal BFF criteria, well, that episode's available now, so go check it out.
Absolutely. And now let's get to our guests this week and find out what shows are in their top six. I'm very excited to have this guest with us today. She is a comedian. She is the host of some incredible podcasts, including We Really Love Island and How Come, which is one of my favorites. Please welcome Remy Casimir.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so excited. I'm not lying. I've never been so excited to do a podcast. Like, this is
really?
My favorite top. Yeah. And
That makes me so glad.
Put this off for such a long time because, as Dan knows, like, I wanted to get the list right. Like, I feel so deeply about TV and passionately. I feel like most of my day is TV. It always has been. I didn't want to get it wrong.
That is amazing and like the best tee up to this podcast ever. And you are officially like my favorite guest ever.
Yay. Love it. Love to see it. Love to hear it.
That's awesome. So Remy, before we get to your BFF criteria, we want to know a little bit, you know, about your personal TV history. So let's start with revealing the shows that almost made your list. So these aren't the shows that made your top six, but they only just missed the cut. So they're not your TV BFFs, but they're still pretty good friends.
A close, the top two, I would say, are Real Housewives of New York and Love Island UK.
Okay.
Because Housewives, I used a different another show in the franchise for my top six. And Love Island UK, I love so much. But when I thought about it, I was like, I would never rewatch it.
Right. Okay. But it could still fall on your favorite. It could still fall on a best.
Yes,
and you have and you have a whole podcast about it. So this is a little shocking to me, I gotta say.
It is. It really, like, I love that it exists. I love, like, there's nothing more exciting than when Love Island is coming out, because, like, I don't think there's any other reality shows, maybe Big Brother, where, like, an episode comes out every day of the week, except one day, and it's a reality show, and it's in real time, and so the editors are working their asses off, and I guess can, like, create less of storylines because they have to go with what's actually happening.
Right, yeah. There's not a ton of time to, like, post-produce it and, like, put a real shine on some villain edit or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
What's the hook of Love Island? Because I actually don't really know much about it, even though, like, I'm a reality TV connoisseur.
Yeah.
But I don't really know much about the format.
So Love Island, it is five guys and six girls initially, or the reverse of that. And you have to couple up. Day one, you have to be like, these are the people I'm into. These are the people who are into me. Let's choose partners. And we're going to sleep in a bed with this person in a room with everybody else. So there's no, like, hopefully, you know, they don't give them a lot of alcohol either. So, like, anything that you're thinking that could go on dangerous is not likely to happen, because people have an eye on each other the whole time.
Right.
And yeah, you want to ideally win the show with your couple. There's a 50,000 pound grand prize, or maybe it's 100,000 pounds now. But yeah, then at the end, they see if, like, you're in it for the love or the money. And if you both choose love, then you split it. If one chooses money, they get the whole thing. It's like, I call it Honesty Island, because I think that everybody is held really, really accountable. You know, like, if you do something shady, you don't know that the next week they might send in a new contestant who's going to be like, you know, actually, she mugged you off for the Irish guy. Like,
that's fun.
So the new contestants they're sending in have been watching what's going on. So they're up to
speed. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. That's a fun
that's
twist.
Really
it's
awesome.
Anthropological as fuck.
So this feels like less of a game show. I mean, it's a little bit of both, but it feels like less of a game show and more like a social experiment.
That's what I think. That's right? What I mean by anthropological as fuck. Yeah.
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 Okay, so we got Real Housewives of New York. We'll get into that one a little bit more. You foreshadowed there's going to be another Housewives in the conversation.
Yeah.
What else was close besides those top two reality picks?
So this is a strange one. I don't know if anybody would ever say this, but I was a huge fan of the old I Love the 90s, 70s, 80s on VH1.
Great. Yeah. Love those.
They were some of the shows that I got like a lot of my knowledge base from, a lot of like my music recs from. And yeah, a shout out to those shows. Also, a lot of the comedians that I saw being like the talking heads, like I'm friends with some of them now. So I just thought that was like
that was the wildest thing about moving to New York. I was like, oh my God, like that's the guy from I Love the 80s.
And yeah,
I'm seeing
exactly.
Him perform and we're hanging out at a bar. Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. But yeah, I feel like I got made smarter. It was like the big sibling I never had, even though I had older siblings.
I love that. That's a good one. And you're right. No, not one that has come up in any conversation before, but I think a really astute pick because that is a franchise. It's like the I Love the Decades franchise.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was
there's
great.
Like what, like 30 episodes? Did they also do the 2000s?
They did the 2000s.
Did it start in the 70s?
70s,
80s, 90s? 70s, 80s, 90s, yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I like that.
I was always like looking forward to like what the graphic was going to look like and like how they were going to update the song.
Sure.
Another one that almost made it is Sex and the City.
Sure. Now that's a more popular pick. We've gotten that a few times before.
But I would never put it on top six. I think this is a different category besides BFF. This is like what I think I said this to Dan. This is like core memory show that like if I'm going to hang out with another person for the rest of my life, I will have wanted them to see stuff so I can quote things.
Sure. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
If you're picking a forever friend, they should have watched Sex and the City. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like if I say like, we love the movie, like I want them to be like, yeah.
See, we know which one of us has watched, right?
Right. Yeah.
Good pick.
What else almost made it? Jane the Virgin, I love. I think it is one of
so good.
The best written shows on TV. I've never seen a format like fucking telenovela style with all this like animated realism in like a very like show that you can laugh at and cry at. Like it's just an emotional roller coaster and so am I. So we vibe.
I love that show.
Sailor Moon.
Ooh.
I was a big, my whole family actually were big Sailor Moon fans. We used to wake up at like 6 a.m, me and my brothers on like in summer to watch Sailor Moon. And I remember that being like the first show that anybody called one of my family members gay for liking. And
oh wow.
And they didn't care. They were like, yeah, whatever. We don't you know, like fuck
oh,
you.
Cool.
We like Sailor Moon.
Right. Like owned it.
Yeah. And then my oldest brother speaks fluent Japanese and he used to make fun of the rest of us. And so I started taking Japanese to figuring out what he was saying, and I would watch Sailor Moon like years later in Japanese to like learn how to speak and stuff.
Cool.
I love that.
I feel like I've heard about Sailor Moon recently. Is it like, I feel like people are talking about more. Are there more episodes coming out? Is there like a remake or something?
I don't know. I think every few years it pops up again in the zeitgeist because somebody realizes that Sailor Saturn and Sailor Uranus are lesbians and not cousins because they're watching the Japanese version for the first time and they're like, wait, what? Like, now it makes more sense how they touch each other.
Oh, you guys are just best friends.
Yeah. Sisters, we're close.
I love it. Okay, these are good. So coming in hot, you mentioned you had an 18 show almost list. So like what?
Yeah.
Let's zip through a bunch that weren't on the list, but we're close just to kind of round out your TV history here.
Okay. True Blood, so horny. Transparent, essential. Girls, but essential. Pose. The Office, just because everyone likes it, and I also agree it is good. 30 Rock, Euphoria, Orange is the New Black, How I Met Your Mother, Arrested Development, Freaks and Geeks, Black Mirror,
Sure.
Dexter, and then remakes of Saved by the Bell, Fuller House, and also I love Cobra Kai.
Oof.
I love a remake.
Wow.
I don't know. But the weird thing about me and remakes, especially Cobra Kai, is I had never seen Karate Kid when I started watching Cobra Kai, and it quickly became one of my favorite shows, and people started freaking out because they were like, you can't watch the remake without watching the movies.
Right.
And I was like, yes, you can, because, and they were like, no, you won't get the references. And I'm like, yes, I will when I watch the movies. It goes both ways. And this way I'm watching like an amazing show all the way through, and then a perfectly cast prequel with everyone as their younger, hotter selves. And the sequels obviously are like more socially conscious. So it's like you should start with the sequels because they're starting in real time and they are self-aware too. Like they'll call out things that were wrong of them to say in the 80s. And then like if you are watching Fuller House first and then you watch Full House, like it like you're in on the joke that it's really corny.
Mm.
Whereas like I wouldn't tell anybody to start Full House now.
No, I wouldn't tell anybody that at all.
Are you guys looking for a new thing to watch? Like, well, there's a show. It's like kind of old, but
yeah.
Get this, the young one is played by twins.
Yeah.
So let's get to the shows that you love the most, Remy. Let's get to your TV BFF criteria. So to recap for those listening, we asked you to pick six shows in total with two shows in each of the three categories. And those categories are your best shows, your favorite shows, and your forever shows. So your best shows are the ones that you think are the most artistic or well executed or just overall the best made shows you've ever seen. Your favorite shows are the ones that hold a place near and dear to your heart. They mean something to you personally. And for the forever shows, if you die tomorrow and in the afterlife, you get to choose two shows to watch in order from pilot to finale over and over for infinity. What are those shows?
Okay.
So for each category, we had you choose from the three overall genres of TV, which are comedy, drama, and unscripted. And unscripted is everything from reality shows to game shows to documentary series. There have to be multiple episodes, so there's no one-offs allowed. But other than that, it can be anything. And most importantly, there are no such things as guilty pleasures here. Okay? We appreciate and love all TV. And if you love it, you love it. The only other rule is that you can't double up on a genre in any category. So if you pick a comedy in your best category, the other one has to be either unscripted or drama.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into it. Remy, what is your first best show?
Okay. My first best show is Rick and Morty.
Ooh. Okay. Let's talk about it. So if someone doesn't know Rick and Morty, what is it and why is it your best show?
So Rick and Morty is about a child named Morty. His grandfather, Rick, who is a drunk genius scientist, crashes in their house and is like, I'm back, baby. He has been gone their whole lives, basically. And now he takes Morty on adventures in space and in different universes, like parallel universes and shit. And it is a cartoon. It is by Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon. And it is one of the most existential, fucking bro-y fart humor, beautiful family drama, emotional, like pervert, drug fun trap music shows.
It's checking a lot of boxes.
It's got a lot of things. It's one of those ones that like I did not ever think I would like, but the animation is beautiful. Like there's just so many aliens that they draw that you are like,
cool.
Who fucking thought of this? So many different types of universes that you come across. The humor is super lowbrow and super highbrow. Like you feel like you're having really existential conversations sometimes, and like there are episodes where like Rick almost kills himself, like because he knows he's a bad dude, and like, oh, the soundtrack, you guys, like they inspire you to write your own fucking screenplay, you know, like they're ones that like, I don't know. I love this show very, very much. It's also a show that I love the irreverence of the creators. Like they really do things on their own time. And I have been emulating them when, especially when it comes to How Come and like when I release things, like at the end of, I think it was like season one of Rick and Morty, maybe it was season two. It was like there's a lot of breaking the fourth wall. So like everybody's waving towards the camera and they're like, bye, that's it. That's the end of season two. We'll see you whenever, who the fuck knows? And I just love that because it's the creators being like, listen, like we made the thing, just get over it. Like, we'll see you when we see you. And there was one time on April Fool's Day that they released a season. It had been like 2 years or something. And they just like tweeted out like new Rick and Morty's up. And everybody was like, no, it's not. Like, there's no way. Like, I was driving to Atlantic City for a gig with my boyfriend and our other friend, Alex, who's a comic. And we saw it and we were like, there's no way. And then sure enough, it was.
It was.
And oh my God. And they care about their audience so much that they put it on Comedy Central on loop for the entire 24 hours. So like if you had missed the promo or the preview, it was just there for you. And it was like a gleeful day. Like we watched it like 3 times in a row. Like we almost bailed on our show. We were like, if this is not available, we're fucking bailing on the show. And I was like, no, it's 24 hours. And we're like, all right, after the show.
That's so cool. And I love the way you're talking about it. Not just the content itself, but kind of the intention behind it and the way it's produced, the way it's released. You can tell that the creators really have like tender loving care for it. It sounds like a passion project through and through from the guys that created it.
Yeah.
Now it's Dan Harmon. And who was the other creator you mentioned?
Justin Roiland.
So was he part of Community? Was he on that creative team or was he more of maybe the animated side of things?
I have no idea. I never Community'd.
But the way you describe Rick and Morty, not through and through, but like some elements of that reminded me of Community, like it's highbrow and lowbrow at the same time. Mm-hmm. Right. And it had kind of, like a joyous kind of feel to it. But also there was depth in relationships and actual character development and like this, you know, half hour goofy.
Yeah.
To come about like fucking paintball. You know what I mean?
Right? Yeah. Like we'll deal with Beth's abandonment issues, like Rick's daughter. But then they'll also go to a planet where there's like farting butts that you have to hop across. Like it's the planet of farting butts.
I love it. Do you have a favorite episode or scene, or when you think of Rick and Morty, what comes to your head?
The first episode is really good. Just like there's like, or maybe it's the second one with the dog. You guys have to watch this show. There's whatever it is the dog where he's like, he's taking his name back because they have kept calling him the wrong name, and he's like, he learns how to speak English, whatever, just do the dog that speaks English.
Where are my testicles, Summer? Where are my testicles, Summer? They were removed. Where have they gone?
Oh wow, that's an intense line of questioning, Snuffles.
Do not call me that. Snuffles was my slave name. You shall now call me Snowball, because my fur is pretty and white.
Okay.
I love an episode this season where Morty asks for a dragon. And this season, they like really went off like the storyline.
Because
like they had a whole episode about called The Story Train, and it's about how the show is written. It's so fucking meta and insane. Whoa. And basically it's the creators saying how difficult this process is when their fans do know so much and are expecting the storylines to go different places. And so this season they were just like, fuck it, we're going off. Everything after this is not canon. Like they say that they're just, yeah.
Whoa. Oh my God.
Yeah. They're like, but we're still going to make fun stuff. Like you get it. Okay. And then, yeah, there's this episode where Morty asks for a dragon and Rick's like, oh, a fucking magic episode. Here we go. And it's, I just love it. It's so good.
Wow. Good pick.
Look, I have actually never seen Rick and Morty, and you, like, I also, like, I mean, I knew what it was, but, like, it didn't seem like something that I would be into, and yeah. You have convinced me that I need to take a look at it. Because it Thank also you. Sounds like, I mean, I love that you, when that you said that they said that they were going, like, off canon. Like, I actually feel like that's really respecting your fans by just being totally. Like, guess what, guys? Like, we're doing something new, and you're yeah. not gonna know what to expect, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And like, listen, we're still here. We're still making content. We can't handle the pressure right now, but we do want you to enjoy something. So here you go.
Great first pick. Off to an incredible start. Strong yeah, start. You. What thank is you. Your second best? We're looking for a drama or an unscripted series here.
My second best TV show. Okay. RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay.
Ooh, another first mm-hmm. that we've gotten on the show so far. Which
for best?
I'm surprised. That we haven't gotten
I'm it. Boggled that we haven't gotten it sooner, honestly.
Mm-hmm. We're, That's yeah, wild.
It is pretty wild.
It was an almost show.
Okay.
Yeah.
For a couple
it's,
people,
it's been
I think.
In the conversation, yeah. but it hasn't been on the criteria, and mm-hmm. I'm pumped to talk about it. Tell us about RuPaul's Drag Race and why it's in your best slot.
I would think it would be in a lot of best slots, but RuPaul's Drag Race is an iconic show of shows, probably the queen of unscripted television. If you think of every show growing up that was great, Top Model, Project Runway, fucking, what's that one with the stand-ups?
Last Comic Standing.
Last Comic Standing. Queer Eye, whatever. Sure. And then you mush them all into one show with the most talented cast of characters you have ever seen in your fucking life. It is something to behold. It is also queer canon.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned, like, I think just by Emmys alone, has Ru won more hosting Emmys than any other host?
I don't know, but
I may be making this up, but it feels real.
He's yeah. run a lot. He's won a lot.
Yeah. I feel like he wins or nominated every year for sure.
Yeah.
Like that's a foregone conclusion every year that it's eligible for sure. This is great. I will admit this is one of my pop culture blind spots. I haven't mm-hmm. gotten into it. I've seen clips, you know, Brandon and I both
I've
work
shown
in,
you TikToks.
You've shown me TikToks. That's absolutely right. Brandon and I are both in TV development. So, you know, I've watched enough to understand what's great about it and what's, mm-hmm. what's so excellent about it. But if you were to give advice to someone who hasn't checked it out yet, feels like there's just a lot to catch up on. There's a lot to learn. Where should I jump in? Do I start with an all-star season? Is there a season that you think is like a good entry point? Where should a new fan start if they want to try out RuPaul's Drag Race?
Definitely not season one because production was so bad. Like, and like, it's become like a group joke of how slighted those girls got. I would say maybe season five with Katya.
Okay.
It's a really, really great season and everybody's really talented. If you are not familiar with the world of drag, it is playing with gender, heightening gender. It's not even like people think it's men dressing up as women, but like there's all types of drag. There's bio queens who dress up as women. There's drag kings. Drag Race does tend to stick to mostly men.
Right.
They did have their first trans man this season, which was really exciting.
It's but wonderful.
They have had queens come out after as non-binary or actually no, they had a non-binary queen in UK. And people who have come out after and people who have come out as trans women who still perform as women in drag too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think season five really, really talented. Also, a lot of drama there. That's the season of Relaska Tux, which is Alaska, Roxy, and Detox. And they are three queens that come in from the same town and they become like really, really tight. And there becomes this like,
whoa.
It's one of the first seasons where we think the producers play more of a hand in drama fueling and stirring the pot. And sending home people who maybe don't deserve to be sent home yet. But those are all things. If you get on Twitter, the Drag Race fan base is so fucking rampant that they will call everything out. They do get a little insane sometimes if they don't think that somebody, the fan base, if they don't think somebody deserved to win or if they think somebody was awful, like they will really go in. But something that I like about the franchise is that Rue really does stress family at the end of the day and like chosen family. Because a lot of, not anymore, but in the earlier seasons, it was a lot of people coming in who had been cast out by their parents. And drag was their chosen family, you know, like drag families in the real world of drag before there was this show were people's families. So it's not just like, yes, we're all here to win, but it's not one of those shows that's like, I'm not here to make friends. Like there's maybe one person that says that, like the rest of the people are there to at least make bonds and like respect each other's work and stuff. And like probably go on tour together eventually.
Yeah,
you know, like it's a real sisterhood.
I love that.
And there's shade, obvi, but
there's shade and it's entertaining. Like talk about some of like, there's, you know, go-to challenges and, you know, so how does...
Yeah, I'd love to know like the format because I really don't know, like, you know how like Top Chef, there's like the quick fire and the elimination, like how, like what are they doing on Drag Race?
So every episode, there's a mini challenge where it's like, I don't know, doing quick drag or reading. There's always like a reading challenge where like the library is open and everybody puts on their glasses and they read each other. And it is amazing. And that's one of my favorite mini challenges. It comes up once a season. And then there's always a maxi challenge, which is like they'll do like a music video or they have to do a sketch or something or they have to like... Ooh. Write a rap or they have to like make up a choreographed dance or something. Like it's all
so like an original production,
but it's a performance.
It's all performance based. Okay. Yeah. Because that's what queens do is they perform or it's like a comedy routine. Like there are some queens that are comedy queens. There are some queens that are look queens. Every episode has a runway at the end. Most of the time it'll only be one look that they have to present, but sometimes it'll be a ball or sometimes there will be like always there's a category. If it's a ball, there's multiple categories. But yeah, there's like the way that I was saying Project Runway is kind of put into this. Like these girls know how to sew. If they don't, they know how to hot glue gun. If they don't, they get red for that, for filth. And then they come back on All Stars and they know how to sew. And or they get their outfits made for them or something. It's like, it's just very cool. There's like a lot of behind the scenes too, if you like performing and production and stuff.
That's one. Now clear something up. So lip syncing is a big part of the show as well.
Oh, yes.
Is that correct?
Lip syncing has changed, though, what it means throughout. Because
this is my question, because my experience with lip syncing was like Jimmy Fallon and then lip sync battle. But that's not where it started. Lip syncing on TV in a competitive atmosphere was on Drag Race before. That's what I would imagine. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And before that, it was like in the West Village.
Right.
And,
exactly.
You know, like that's what drag queens mostly do. If they're not telling jokes, they're telling jokes and then lip syncing in between. And so a lip sync is a very important part of the show. Usually they'll narrow it down to the last two girls. And instead of the I have two photos in my hands and only one with Tyra shit.
Right.
It's like there's two girls on the stage. Dance and they dance and they lip sync for their lives. And then in All Star season, it got flipped on its head. And this only happened very recently that two of the top people would lip sync and then they would battle it out for who gets to choose a lipstick of who's going home of the bottom two.
Oh, so it became a lip sync for like the power play
game move.
Right.
Yeah. Political.
I like this. Brandy, this has shades of challenge.
Yeah, it does.
MTV challenge?
MTV's the challenge.
Hell yeah.
This has shades
of all the shows.
Yeah, like, but like just the way like, ooh, before this was a bad place to be, but now if you win this thing, you get to fuck over somebody else or make a big move or hold all the power. That's great. That's good formatting. I love that. Great. Okay. This is great. I love this category. Rick and Morty and Drag Race in the best. Great category. Let's move on to your favorite shows. Remy, what's your first selection in the favorite category?
Okay. So This one, like, is stupid because I don't love it now, but I have watched it every week for my whole life, and I want to be on the cast, and so I'm putting it on my list. Okay. It is Saturday Night Live, everybody. No, it's not bad now. It's just I'm more resentful now.
It was easier to watch.
Yeah.
It was easier to watch when it wasn't your dream job, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, but there's always been this feeling of, ooh, those people seem like they're my friends. Mm. And I would love to get into that. Yeah. Yeah. Are there iconic sketches that I can't not quote all the time? I make everybody I'm romantically involved with also watch it once a week. Like, if you already watch it, like, religiously, that's good grades in my book.
I agree. This is a popular pick, although I think it's the first time it's been in a favorite category. It's been for forever a couple times.
I wouldn't want to have to do it from top to end, though. I like to be able to pick my episodes and my sketches. There are some sketches that I can watch back to back to back to, like, over and over and over.
That's the thing.
And some... like, I used to go to the Museum of TV and Broadcasting and try to, like, watch old episodes of old SNL, and I'd just be like, I don't get these references, man.
Right. That is the thing with SNL, though. It's like, because it is so topical. So, like, if you happen to be watching an episode from, like, November 1987, like...
Yeah, especially a lot of the politics stuff, I'm like, did that really happen?
So what are those sketches, though, that you could watch? Like, if you have favorite cast members or favorite characters, what are your tops?
I love Andy Samberg. I love Mike Myers. I love Amy Poehler. I love Amy Poehler's rocking one leg, round the clock, horny. You know that one? Like, where she's like, There's a Mike Myers sketch when Nicole Kidman hosted in the 80s called Philip the Hyper Hypo. And he plays a little boy who's hypoglycemic and hyperactive. And she's a little girl named Grace. And they're just, like, talking to each other and, like, being kids and falling in love. And then, like, he's like, I'm hypoglycemic and hyperactive. And she's like, what does that mean? And he, like, he's just a fucking spaz. Like, it's probably not cool. It probably doesn't hold up. But she gives him a chocolate bar, and then he pulls the entire jungle gym that he's, like, harnessed to away.
Right.
It's so funny. I love Celebrity Jeopardy. It's, like, so classic.
We've got a real barn burner on our hands. In last place with negative $69. Oh, brother, Sean Connery. Negative $69. Okay, that wasn't your score.
Well, 69 is how I scored with your mother last night. Ow!
Let's just move on to the category for Double Jeopardy. They are potent potables, sounds that kitties make, twinkle, twinkle, little blank, catch these men. Every answer is a person on the FBI's most wanted list, so let's just forget that category. Sean Connery, would you pick a category?
I'll take Catch the Seaman for 800.
Any digital short by The Lonely Island, like, I not Dick in a Box, actually. I fucking hate Justin Timberlake, but...
Oh, so not his trilogy, or however many the fuck he did.
No. No. But what's the other Lonely Island one I like when it's
Lazy,
like...
Lazy Sunday?
No, the one where... Oh, he jizzes in his pants.
Oh, sure.
I loved Shy Ronnie. Do you remember that with Rihanna?
Yeah, that was so good. Shy Ronnie's one of my favorites.
Oh, no.
So I don't know if you know this, Remy. I was an SNL page during the digital short era, and I was there when Andy was there and all that.
Oh, my God.
And my season was the same season of I'm on a Boat.
Amazing.
And let me tell you, that song got so much run at every page party at least 3 times. At least.
It's a great song. But what about the Michael Bolton song?
That's which,
you know, that I one
think, isn't
where
that
it's like, this is a tale of Jack Sparrow.
That's Jack Sparrow. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Can I say one of my favorite sketches? This is pre-Lonely Island, but it's also a musical one, is Tom Hanks. I guess it's Lonely Island's there. It's Tom Hanks and Andy Samberg, and they are, there's like Right Said Fred, basically.
Okay.
But they're singing this song about, please don't cut my testicles. Please don't cut my like, and at the end of it, it's like, wow, those guys had a lot of trauma about their testicles. All the things I like are like pervert. It's like jizzing in your pants, boners, balls.
Sexual drama.
Yeah.
I mean, Remy, attracts. It tracks with your interests.
It tracks.
Oh, shit. That's good. I haven't reminisced about some Lonely Island shit in a long time.
You like forget how good.
We're so good. And even the ones that weren't good were just like avant-garde and off the wall and like probably inspired guys like, you know, Kyle Mooney, who's now doing the weird off the wall avant-garde shit that they cut way too often. I always see the next day, cut for a time, it's the Kyle sketch. I'm like, well, that was the best one.
Oh, it's always the Kyle sketch.
Oh, wait, this is another penis sketch, but it was... also cut for time. It's one of my favorite ones. It's called Nude Beach. It's with Kevin Nealon, Dana Carvey. There's other legends in it. Fucking Lovitz is in it. And it's these guys. They're all naked. They're waist up. And they're at this nude beach. And they're all being like, oh, penis looks great this year. And there's a new guy and it's like, oh, hey, like, don't worry about your penis or whatever. And like, like Kevin Nealon's like, yeah, like I go to this guy on Long Island and he does a great job. Like on what?
What is the job? SNL, a great favorite pick. What is next? We're looking at a drama or another unscripted series here.
In favorites.
That's correct.
Well, I fucked up the assignment because this is neither of those. This is a game show.
That's unscripted. That works. That's okay.
Yeah.
That counts.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Great. All right. My next pick is a game show, and I've already alluded to it in my SNL thing. When I said I love Celebrity Jeopardy, it's because I love Real Jeopardy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's my favorite show.
Yeah.
I love it. Picks like this warm my heart. You might be interested to know that a mutual friend of ours also picked Jeopardy in her criteria when Darren Karp picked it as her best show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, her and I are going to get married someday.
I think so, right?
Yeah. Ruh-roh. Sorry, Ben.
But yeah, so what is it? What is it about Jeopardy that makes it your favorite?
It's consistent. It is knowledge-based. I grew up in a family where our little mantra was smart is cool.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Love that.
And I also, Jeopardy is a huge Remy getting into TV every day show, because when I was 11, my paternal grandparents moved into my house in New York City from Long Island in order to like get ready for buying their own place. And my grandmother, Nanny, who I lived with the entire time I recorded How Come, moved into my old, like, there was like a quote unquote maid's room or whatever. That was like my childhood bedroom. And she moved in there and she got a little TV because Nanny watched TV. But the rest of my family, like, we were not allowed to watch TV. The only other TV was in my parents' room. Like, we really weren't allowed to TV until this point in time. And Nanny moving in was fucking huge for me, because every night at like 6:45, she'd be like, Remy, Jeopardy's about to start. And I'd be like, okay, Nan. And I'd like trot into the room and we'd like get into this double bed and watch Jeopardy and watch Wheel. Even though that we know Wheel is not as important, like, we would watch it too.
Sure.
You have to. And my mom couldn't say shit because I was spending time with my grandma.
Right. And of any show, like, no, don't watch the thing where you're going to learn a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Fuck off. Like, I'm still mad at her. Get out of here, mom. Jeopardy also has been a very bonding thing with me, my boyfriend, and his parents here. We watch it every night. I think it's a really great way to bond with people because then you get to know what their knowledge base is without them having to brag about it. Mm-hmm. And it's fun when you watch with people who know you too, because like a category will come up, like they'll be like Broadway and they'll go, oh, Remy, you got this one. Aww. You know?
Yeah, it makes you feel good.
It makes you feel good. And yeah, I love it. It also like affirms how smart my boyfriend is to me. Like after a day of fighting, I'm like, fucking idiot. And then he'll be like, Rachmaninoff. And I'll be like, bitch, I love you.
Yeah, I always feel dumb watching Jeopardy. I don't watch it enough though. But what are some of your other categories? I mean, when you see it light up on the board, you're like, yeah, that's going to be a fun one. Let's go there.
Pop culture, of course. Mm-hmm. Like anything, TV, movies, whatever. I love Greek history. If Greek history pops up, ooh, Remy is winning. I am a AP Greece and Rome scholar.
Shit, that's awesome.
Because of all the gay sex. not good at geography. If it's lakes, like count me out. no bodies of water for me. And I do surprisingly well at Bible sometimes. If they are Old Testamenting, I can do that. And or new, because I did art history in college. Or so art. I can do art too and architecture. I love Jeopardy. Nice.
That's awesome.
Potent potables. I still have no idea what that means.
I was gonna ask, what is that joke category that's always on, and has it ever been on Real Jeopardy? I don't know.
I have no idea what that is. In my head, the answer is mustard every time. What else is a potable?
Okay, I looked it up. What are potent potables? It's a clever way to ask about alcoholic beverages. Potable means something that is safe to drink.
Oh, okay.
But on Celebrity Jeopardy, the answer was mustard seeds or something like that. On SNL Celebrity Jeopardy.
I totally agree with when you said that, like, it's just such a, it's a very comforting show to watch because you kind of know what you're going to get every single episode. I love that no matter where you are in the country, it's on at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
You just have to find whatever channel, like probably the ABC channel. Mm-hmm. No, maybe the CBS.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's if it's 7 o'clock, you're flipping through the channels, you're going to find Jeopardy. That's like really nice to know. It's like, I'm in Montana, I'm in Vermont, I'm in New York.
It's soothing.
Jeopardy's on at 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gives me like actually like PBS vibes in that way, in that like,
deaf.
Wherever you are, you know you have it. It's for the good of humanity. Like, yeah, they make money because it's the most popular, successful game show of all time, but like the set hasn't changed in decades. There's no flash, there's no sizzle, really. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's just straightforward. It because it knows it is all it needs to be, right? Mm-hmm. But just enough of a twist, like the answer is a question, and that's just enough to be like, that's the thing. That's Jeopardy the thing.
Yeah, you know? That is.
And
one
also,
thing
I
that...
feel like that makes you feel smart too.
Yes, that you like. Oh, I figured it out. Like I figured out what they're asking. My sister, when she was young, used to be like, "What the fuck? What is the question?" And I'm like, "The question's the answer." And she's like, "What?"
Oh, good stuff. Okay, so now we've come to the final category, the forever shows. What are you watching on a loop from start to finish? You can jump in between the two shows. You don't need to do one full through and then the other. You can kind of take a break from one, do a couple of the other. That said, what's your first forever show, Remy?
I just made a perfect life for myself. If I only have to watch these two shows like forever, like I'm fine. The first one is Frasier. Hello, I love you, Frasier Crane. And I feel weird about the Kelsey Grammer thing, but whatever, you guys. This show holds up. It has a queer writer's room. The jokes are still sensitive to this day.
Oh, nice.
It is smart. I also love it because it turned my opinion of it on its head. As a child, I grew up thinking Frasier was the old person show after Friends.
Me too. I thought it was boring and old and dry.
Boring, old, horrible. And now I'm like zesty, sexy. half masturbated too. no, but also it's just... Frasier is a really interesting character to me because he is a radio psychologist at this point in his life when we find him. And he is giving people advice about their lives while having a life that is in shambles, honestly.
Sure.
Frasier cannot get women when he can, but he can't keep them. He's a fucking neurotic psychopath, and he's giving people advice. Like, it's just so me. Like, I started How Come selfishly to learn how to come, and then I become this like sex guru telling people how to act or whatever. Like, I feel like there's nothing more Frasier-y than that, except for that, like, I don't have a PhD. But it's a family show. There's family dynamics. He's moving in with his father, who's basically been estranged this whole time, who is a more blue collar policeman, has like a very like different view of the world, whereas Frasier is this like snobby, very into high art and culture and stuff. And like the clash of those worlds, but also seeing how they blend together, like, is just really heartening. His brotherhood with Niles is one of my favorite things to see on TV, as somebody with a same gendered sibling that we're extremely close. And also the casting of Niles is one of the best stories in the entire world. Niles was not a character on Frasier at all.
Interesting.
It was just going to be about Frasier and his dad. And then somebody saw David Hyde Pierce and they were like, this guy looks like young Kelsey Grammer. He talks like him. Like, we need to write him into the show. And they did.
Wow. It's like, you got a role via doppelganger, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Well, what's so amazing about that is that, like, so I, it's not like I watched Frasier, like, every week or whatever, but, like, I definitely, like, I enjoyed it. I also, like, had a bit of a crush on Niles. It was the beginning of Brandy, like, loving gay men.
Yeah.
And, and finding out, it's like, he's gay?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You know how I know you're gay? I'm attracted to you.
Yeah. But I remember thinking, I was like, wow, they did such a good job. They look so much alike. Are they really related?
It's literally, it's like, I love a good casting. And it was, it's almost like Cobra Kai level, that it's like, what came first? The fucking, was this his brother written? It's like, no, they just looked alike.
And then they took it and ran with it. Like, they played sibling clowns on Simpsons, right? Because, like, Kelsey Grammer was the voice of Sideshow Bob. And when they introduced Sideshow Mel, I think it was David Hyde Pierce.
Yeah, that's so cute. I love that so much. Yeah. And David Hyde Pierce has only started to look more and more like Kelsey Grammer in his old age. Like, it's... It's just keeps working. Apparently, they might be shooting a new one.
I think they, I was just going to ask. So,
yeah,
you're someone who loves a reboot. You love a remake. Mm-hmm. They're doing a reboot. But also, too, Frasier, if you don't know, Remy, you do, I'm sure. But
if the
listeners don't know, it was also a spinoff. Is it the most successful spinoff of all time? Maybe. But Frasier Crane was a character on Cheers.
Yep.
So did you, after realizing that you enjoy Frasier, did you go back and watch his Cheers episodes? Did you watch Cheers?
So let me tell you a little something about my Frasier Cheers journey.
Okay.
So I think it's very interesting. I didn't start watching Cheers or Frasier until like 2 years ago or something. I think I had finished all of the Love Islands and I was like thirsty for something new to start. And I put on my story, like, what should I watch? Like, if there's one show that you watch, and Cheers kept coming up and Frasier kept coming up.
Really? Okay.
And so I was like, okay, like, I'll do Cheers or Frasier. And people were like, start with Cheers. And so I tried. And 15 minutes in, I was like, I don't give a fuck about any of these people. I cannot stomach this. I don't want to watch it. I'll try Frasier because I do remember, like, also Kelsey, like, kind of looked like my dad in the 90s. So, like, I'm like, I can at least, like, I don't know, have some familiarity. I didn't have any familiarity with Cheers. Like, I don't drink. Like, there's nothing for me to, like, relate to with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I started watching Frasier, hooked. Like, I think I finished the whole thing in like a week.
Wow.
All 11 seasons.
Wait, those are network
11
seasons.
Network seasons. That's commitment. Think,
or 2 weeks or something. And I, like, I'm not kidding when I say I, like, binge. Like, I don't leave my bed.
I love it.
sometimes I'll fall asleep during a binge and I'll just pick up where I left off, like not where I left off, like
just wake up
a
and
few
keep
episodes.
Watching.
Yeah, just keep watching, which is nice because now when I do those again, I'll be like, oh, I've never seen this one. And I'm like, oh, I must have been sleeping.
Like, I love it. Oh, that's wonderful.
And then I finished that and then I missed Frasier so much that I started Cheers on season 3, episode 1, Frasier's first episode when he is introduced as Diane Chambers' boyfriend.
Okay, fine. Tell him to drop by. I'll
try to fit him in between dames.
Why don't you say hello to him right now?
Hello, Sam. I'm Dr. Frasier Crane. I'm sorry I startled you.
This is weird.
Diane told me that you're basically a good, open-minded person and that you'd be responsive, so I took the liberty of dropping by a little early.
She actually said something nice about me, huh?
She says a lot of nice things about you.
And then I got attached to the characters that way because I was watching their relationship with Frasier, and then suddenly I cared about Sam and Diane. And then I cared about Sam. And then I had to keep, and I finished Cheers, and then I was like, well, I gotta know where Sam and Diane started. And then I watched... seasons 1 through 3 of Cheers.
So that's when you got your prequels.
Yep, exactly.
Wow. I love this kind of reverse watching situation you got going on with a lot of these shows. Like just kind of making your own prequels. That's genius. I got to figure out what we can do this with, Brandy. We got to
make your own
do this
prequel.
Yeah. It's a mequel. It's your prequel.
It's a mequel.
Oh, fun. A lot of firsts. That's our first Frasier. Love to have it. Love to see it.
Amazing.
So what are you pairing with Frasier in the afterlife? What are you watching forever in your second slot?
All right. Here she is. We have teased her this whole episode. She is a Real Housewife and she is from Beverly Hills. This was a really tough choice, choosing between Beverly Hills and New York. And I've had to make this choice only one other time. The podcast, I don't think it ever went out. Like one of my friends was starting a podcast and this was one of the questions was like, you could only choose one Housewives show. Like what would you choose? And I chose New York at the time. And then like 2 weeks later, I called her and I was like, can I change that? And she was like, what? And I was like, on your podcast, like, I don't want this out in the world. And she's like, Remy, no one, this podcast doesn't exist yet. Like, who fucking cares? And I'm like, obviously me. And
now I now understand your commitment to the list and your little bit of anxiety coming into it. Like, I need to get this
insane.
Right.
Insane. Yeah. I choose Beverly Hills over New York because Beverly Hills has more offshoots. Vanderpump Rules would not exist if not for BH. Lisa, Virgo, Vanderpump in general, we wouldn't know. I'm also a Virgo. I love her. Kyle Richards, also a Virgo, just to let us know that you could either, you know, go both ways.
You could be a Lisa or a Kyle.
You could be a Lisa or, or a Kim. Did I say Kyle?
Kim.
It's Kim.
You said Kyle. Yeah. Kim. Okay.
Kim.
Lisa or a Kim.
Kim Richards. Yeah. A Lisa or a Kim. Like there's a disparity. Also, Beverly Hills was the truest to their location, I thought. Because when New York came out, I grew up on the Upper East Side of New York. I went to private school. I am disgusting.
Stop.
But when it came out, I remember my mom being like, ugh. Like, who are these women? And like, where did they find them? Like, no woman in New York would actually like sign up for this show. And so it was like a little more like New York was like the tryhards who were trying to get into high society. Whereas in LA, showmanship is already part of their culture. So being showy isn't tryhard. It's part of it. Yeah. And the money seemed more real. They really were showing off some of the most insane houses I've ever seen, dressing ways I've never seen. Like the most talk of style that you heard on Housewives of New York was like Louis Vuitton makes Herman Munster shoes or whatever, you know, like that wasn't fashion. That was like a diss. But Beverly Hills invented glam.
Yeah.
There were no...
That's when the glam squads.
The glam squads. Yeah. Nobody had them before Erica Jane, before Dorit, who my boyfriend goes, why does Dorit always look crazy? And I'm like, she pays to look that crazy.
Sometimes she looks amazing, though, and I'm like, oh, like, Dorit, like, you're, like, really pretty. And then other times I'm like, what are you doing?
I actually love every artistic choice she makes. I think she is a psychotic person, but as, like, a little Barbie doll model fashionista, I'm like, yes, put pearls in your hair and wear a Chanel smock. I love that. I love that. Gold leaf slicked back.
Gold leaf hair.
Sign me up.
Gold leaf hair.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Beverly Hills. I think Kyle and Lisa's friendship, watching that dissolve, was like one of the truest things I've ever seen. It was heartbreaking. It's happened to me so many times. It's not because I called Raider Online, but it's something like that.
There's parallels.
There's parallels. I think also Beverly Hills, they let you in a little bit more with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
All the New York kids, I think, were a little more reserved because they were in New York private schools. And like some of the NYC prep kids did get asked to leave their schools for appearing on those shows. Like, they're just more rules in New York private schools. Yeah.
Loved NYC prep.
Right.
Such a, like, an amazing one season wonder.
That was, I watched that even. That was a good one season wonder.
It was. I rewatched it recently and I was like, ooh, like, I know some of the kids on that show.
I may have followed up to see where PC and Jesse are. No big deal.
So, Brandy, where is Housewives in your...
New York and Beverly Hills are pretty tied for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Beverly Hills, I really fell out with Lucy Lucy Apple Juicy. Like, I stopped. I was like, I can't.
Who is Lucy Lucy? Oh, the dog.
The dog.
The entire season about the dog. But it wasn't about the dog. Much like the it wasn't about the pasta, wasn't about the dog. It was about shooting schedules. It was about unfairness. That's where you got to go to Twitter. You got to go to Reddit.
Yeah.
You gotta, like, go to Bravo's burn book on Facebook. I just joined this group. I love it.
It was tough for me, but then, you know, I came back for Denise Richards, obviously. I thought she was a great addition. And I was really excited at the beginning of last season when they had that whole, like, the premiere of last season was so good. Denise Richards at the end of the episode in front of the green screen, and she's like, I don't know. And, like, gives that little weird half smile.
Oh, that, like, crazy fucking, yeah.
And you're just like, wait, what's she gonna do? Mm-hmm. And then, like, her husband goes from being like, oh, he's, like, kind of cool, to being like, he's a little sketch. Is he, like, grabbing her? Like, what's he doing here?
Is he abusing her? And also, like, does he believe in science?
Yeah.
Like, and which one of these do we want to deal with first?
Where are we going here? But I do think that the Beverly Hills women, as they have, like, I mean, I love the original cast, like, with Kyle and Kim, like, their relationship is insane. And, like, that whole, and, like, that Kathy Hilton is about to be on the
show. Also, we wouldn't have gotten, Kathy, we thought she would never come. Kyle, we always knew because she's been on every E! True Hollywood story about Paris Hilton since 1992.
Yeah.
But the Kim thing was so integral to reality TV and really exposing real issues. We had never dealt with an alcoholic, that a high society functioning alcoholic that her family was calling out, and we were seeing, like, how it was, like, tearing them apart, and, like, other alcoholics, like, found solace in Kim Richards. Like, these are moments where reality shows, to me, like, it's like a Caitlyn Jenner moment. When you go, oh, I understand why this exists now. Besides the editing, besides the beautiful colors and the money and all the stuff, it's like, okay, we're really here to learn something about people. And, like, something that we've never seen before, just because it happened to get caught on camera. And now they have to deal with it. And now she has to deal with it. Like, Kim has sober accountability now because of a show.
Yeah.
She's alive, maybe, because of a show.
That limo scene will never be deleted. It will always be out there.
After everything that I have done for you, everything I've done for you, I'm always there for you.
Everything you've done for me?
Yeah, yeah, everything I've done for you.
You stole my goddamn house!
Listen. Did you hear what you just said, Kim?
Oh, are you out of your f***ing mind?
You are so sick. Did you hear what you just said? My husband has helped you every month and stood by you and taken care of you, okay? Like, you're a second f***ing wife, so you for talking like that. You better f***ing take that back right now.
You better
stop it right now. You are a liar and sick and an alcoholic.
Stop it.
Okay? You are an alcoholic. Yes, that's That's right. I've said it now, and everybody knows. So get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. Quiet.
Drink.
Stop. Quiet. Stop it.
Brandy, do you want to hit Remy with the twist?
Yes. So what if we told you that for one of these forever picks, you get to watch the series every time like it's the first time? What's it going to be?
I think Beverly Hills.
Ooh.
Because
fresh drama every time, you know? Yeah.
Because, well, some really surprising stuff happens in it.
Yeah. And like Frasier, I can relive that journey no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm sure I can do it with Housewives too, but like I saw it in a different time. If I were dead me and I had already lived my whole life and my whole life hadn't, let's say didn't consist of Housewives, and then dead me got to see what was going on in 2005 to like 2021, she'd be like, what a fucking timepiece.
Yeah.
Like what a time capsule. This is beautiful.
It really is.
Frasier, like, time doesn't really exist in that apartment.
Yeah. And also with a comedy like that, you kind of like the comfort. You like the familiarity of, mm-hmm. of a show mm-hmm. like that, of a watch like that. Remy, this is a really impressive list. So to recap, we have Rick and Morty and RuPaul's Drag Race are the best shows that Remy Casimir has ever seen. SNL and Jeopardy are her favorite shows of all time. And she would watch Frasier and The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills forever. Strong, strong list. Brandy, of these six shows, which pick is most interesting to you?
I love Rick and Morty.
Yay.
Because I guess I've never really talked to anybody about it before, but I also feel like I have never heard like a super convincing argument as to why I should watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And you really convinced me, Remy. Like, I really want to check it out now. Like, it feels like, and I also like, I just Googled it. Like, I don't think I knew what it looked like. I was picturing something totally different. I think I was picturing some kind of like really weird Adult Swim.
Yeah, like Robot Chicken shit.
Yeah, that is what I was thinking.
Yeah, no.
Brandy, I agree with you. I think Rick and Morty stands out for me too. It's,
yeah.
Again, it's one of those shows where like I've now, like this is the cherry on top of the must watch Sunday. I've heard about it one too mm-hmm. many times. I agree. Remy, you sold it brilliantly and described it in a way that I hadn't really heard before. And it's now jumped much higher on my list of things that I need to watch pretty damn quickly, it feels like. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So before we sign off, we always end with three lightning round questions. So Remy, we didn't tell you about these. This is the exact opposite of the criteria. Try not to overthink it. Just whatever kind of comes to mind is what you should go with here.
Mm-hmm.
Classic lightning round rules. Okay. First question. What is a canceled show that you would revive if you could?
Rock of Love.
Oh, shit. That was so fast, Remy.
Yeah.
I am a little astounded, but I love
it. Or Megan Wants a Millionaire because hers got canceled and she deserves another shot. Oh, no, but she's married now. Rock of Love.
Rock of Love. Wow.
My husband will love to hear that you said Rock of Love. That was one of, he like loves all of the like the VH1 dating shows. And
yes,
they used to show Rock of Love on Valentine's Day, like Valentine's Day weekend. VH1 would run a marathon and we were watching yep. it. And it's just like, first of all, it's so crazy how old TV from 2007 looks now.
Yeah. It was all like, in 4:3.
I was alive then and watching TV, and I didn't think this looked weird.
Can you believe we were watching TV in 4:3 aspect ratio until like 2010?
It is weird when I watch Frasier still that it like is it's a square.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, like the sides are cut off. Rock of Love, what a show!
Mm-hmm.
Good pick. Yeah. And I still love it. You had that locked and loaded. Like,
yeah, I think Brett's ready too. Brett's down.
Brett is totally down.
Next lightning round question, thematically related, and this one is specifically for you, Remy. No one else has gotten this question. What is the sexiest or horniest show you've ever seen?
True Blood.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
The whole show is a euphemism for sex.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
racism, but mostly sex. there's a lot of penetrating. There's a lot of fast sex. There's, that soundtrack. There's this song that I used to cry myself to sleep to. And it's the first time Bill and Sookie have sex. And it's like so romantic and it's like in the dirt. And yeah, that show is about fucking and I'm into it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. same. That was
there's that one whole season that was just an orgy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is, that was like, because I mean, I love True Blood, but like, I feel like, what was that, like season 4? I was like,
Lolo Bromeo, Lolo Dentros.
Like, they started losing me then, but it's just like...
They all have, like, black eyes, and they're like, oh!
Remy, who was your biggest crush on that show?
I don't even think I have one. Maybe I liked the relationship between Jessica and Boyd. What was his name? Boyd Hoyt. I love that relationship. I think he's like a very like Jason Segel-y looking man. And I like, I'm comfortable with that level of attractive.
Nice. Good pick.
Thank you.
Last question, Remy. What's a recent series that you've been obsessed with that people should check out?
Cobra Kai.
Oh, sure. Okay. And coming back around.
But and the new Saved by the Bell.
Okay. Nice.
Okay. Tell me about that, because I haven't watched
it. I haven't put enough emphasis on that. The new Saved by the Bell is fucking awesome. Again, it is very self-aware. They realized that the kids that they were following were only like very like well-to-do people at this like very fancy school that they were very taken care of. And in this reiteration, there's new kids from another school, an underfunded school, and they have to combine the schools. And it's kind of this like the preppy assholes reckoning with people who have actual problems.
Right.
And so the people with actual problems will comment on like the Zach-esque character, like looking at the camera and just being like, you guys have time for this shit? Like, what is this? You know, like it's also Zach Morris is now like the mayor of California and he's not a good mayor. Like,
oh, no.
There's a lot more nuance in it.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, like it's
mayor of LA or where they are, or the governor.
Mayor of Bayside.
Or governor of California. He's or governor of LA. Okay. Or I don't know. But either way, it's like acknowledging that maybe he's not the best guy. And like maybe he didn't actually learn any of his lessons. And like a lot of the old cast comes back. Jesse Spano's there. Slater's there.
Nice.
Lisa's not. I think she comes back for one episode.
Kelly?
Kelly's. Kelly and Zach are married.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is Zach on camera for this or is he kind of an off screen? Oh, yeah. Okay. Right
he's
on.
He's there
right
sometimes. On. Yeah.
Okay.
It's really good. It's like.
What's it on? Is that a Peacock?
I think it's Peacock.
Or an HBO Max?
Peacock.
Yeah. Oh, another Peacock thing that I just binged. Girls 5 Eva.
I want to see it.
I've heard so many things.
I'm like, I want to get Peacock so that I can watch it. Like, it feels like it's so up my alley.
If you like 30 Rock. Writing and cadence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I heard about Saved by the Bell as well. It had a kind of 30 Rock joke and kind of vibe to it.
Yes, but this is really Tina Fey, really Robert Carlock. Like
the Girls 5 Eva.
Super mapped, yeah. But yeah, those Peacock is doing good shows.
Check out Peacock.
So with that, it's a wrap on this episode of TV BFFs.
This has been so much fun.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to our guest, Remy Casimir. Remy, where can we find you and what are you up to?
Okay. You guys, thank you so much for having me. This was a blast. Please come find me on the internet. My handle is Remy Casimir on Instagram. How Come Podcast also is on Instagram. What am I up to? I don't know. Like I post a lot about TV. So just follow my stories and stuff. And... yeah, if you don't know how to come, I'll help you. Listen to How Come. Start in the beginning. I learned how to do it. You can too. It's fun, you guys. Try it.
And not just that, though. It's turned into like, you know, just to plug it a little bit more, like How Come is, it's a really wonderful, genuine, informative podcast. It talks about a lot of things, sex, relationship, talking about gender and stereotypes and all sorts of really great, wonderful things. If you're not checking it out yet, you definitely should.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we started with Why Can't I Come? And now it's kind of expanded to like, what the fuck is wrong with society?
Yeah, a little bit. It's yeah.
Awesome. Please rate, review, and subscribe and check us out on Instagram at TVBFF Podcast, or you can email us at TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, please reach out. We would love to hear from everyone and send us your six. We want to know what are your top six shows of all time and where they fall on your own BFF criteria. So send us your picks. We'll share our favorites on the show. And until next time, goodbye, friends.
Goodbye.
Bye. You are live.